Hey, it's time for VoiceOver Body Shop, and our guest this week is Eliza Jane Schneider. We're going to talk all about dialects and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some tech.
Oh boy, do we ever. We're going to talk about some stuff that is so mystical to so many people. We'll demystify tonight.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We're ready on VoiceOver Body Shop right now.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, to bring you all the latest technology, today's voiceover superstars, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Source Elements, remote connections made even easier. VO2GoGo.com, everything you need to be a successful voiceover artist. J. Michael Collins Demos, award-winning demo production. VoiceActorWebsites.com, where your voiceover website won't be a pain in the butt. And VoiceOver Extra, your daily resource for VO success.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop,
or VO. BS. Well, episode 165.
All right.
It just keeps adding up and adding up and adding up.
Stacks and stacks.
It is. It is. Well, tonight we got a great show. As we do every time you tune in to watch us.
We don't do no junk.
No, absolutely. Fresh content every week. Mm-hmm. And Eliza Jane Schneider will be joining us in just a minute. And if you've got a question for her, if you have... You know, after we talk to her, you're going to go, I got questions.
Yeah,
I got things I got to ask.
Yeah. Two segments, so you'll have a chance.
You'll have a chance. So if you have a question, throw it in our chat room. Or if you're on Facebook, throw it on the Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
depending on where you're watching this live, because you're the smart people watching it live, because you get to actually interact with our guest and with George and I.
Absolutely.
So if you also have a tech question about your home voiceover studio, that's also the place mm-hmm. to put it. So,
indeed.
Without any further ado, let's introduce our guest tonight. Our guest, Eliza Jane Schneider, is an actress and a voice actor, but she primarily right now is concentrating on the area of dialects. And she's got some classes she's teaching, and she's the best at this. So let's introduce our friend, Eliza Jane Schneider. Everybody, welcome.
Hey.
Nice to see you.
Hello.
Welcome. Welcome.
Too.
Thanks for coming.
I'm buzzing tonight. Oh, look at that on the monitor. You can see the
little bit of flare
effect
there.
Yeah.
Never wear those types of.
All right, we'll change it up
on
next
TV.
Week.
Yeah, go for the extra purple shirt you have.
I will. Yeah.
It goes without saying that this woman once kidnapped me in Portland, Oregon.
I did.
Yes, during the Portland Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
She just grabbed me by the arm and dragged me off to her house. Mm-hmm. And that was fun.
I said, "Look at my studio," and you taught me to put my mic upside down. I've been doing it right side up for decades.
I know. And now it sounds
great.
Bad. Right side up is the wrong side up.
I no longer have to do the Cyndi Lauper pencil move on my lip.
I know.
Oh, for plosives? Or
yeah.
For explosives?
Yeah, because the air is going down.
You use the mic right, you don't need a pop screen. It's as simple as that. I keep telling you kids that, but...
It's so worth kidnapping you.
Anyway.
That was when we met, actually, in Portland.
Well, we had met the week before. At VoiceOver Mastery.
Oh, right.
And then you grabbed me, and then you pulled
me off.
Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about you and how you got to where you are and how you're doing what you're doing. You're originally from, as I recall, from Rochester.
Rochester, New York.
All right.
Yeah.
We've both been able to lose our way upstate Western New York accents.
Well, you want a glass of water?
I don't think so.
That's nice. Thanks.
Yeah.
No, it's water. Get it right.
Well, that's Philadelphia.
Oh, that's where I'm from.
Yeah. No, but Western New York has its own sort of flat A sort of thing, which we'll get into, which is fascinating about dialects and stuff. But when did you come out here to California and to be an actress? Or did you start in New York?
When I was 18 to play younger, which I geekily knew when I was 18 to play younger. I came out to UCLA because I wanted to try my chops on the West Coast and see if I could get into TV land. And I figured I'd end up in New York City eventually. So I just wanted to have that little buffer of college to ease into the fiercely competitive world I had decided upon.
Yeah. Not an easy business to get into. It's gotta be in your gallbladder.
Yeah.
You want to be an actor.
Yeah. I have one of those, Dr. Seuss, My Book About Me. Remember the yellow book where you filled in all the little things? And from age 5, you know, there's like a zillion things you can be. And I think I started circling all of them. And then I realized the only way to do that was to be an actor.
Makes total sense. Yeah. So how long did you, you're still voice acting and stuff, but what types of things did you do?
Oh, gosh. When I first got to LA? Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago when I first got to L.A. and we still had black and white headshots. I did Beakman's World, and the first thing I did was the amazing live Sea Monkeys little-known project with Howie Mandel, 3 life-size sea monkeys, and myself. I was the token female in that show. Very few people know this about Howie Mandel. He played a mad scientist, and I played this little Joan Jett wannabe, and I brought all my musical instruments to the audition and stuff like that. And then I ended up auditioning into the replacement, Beakman's World. Same time slot, Saturday morning, 10 a.m., often preempted by basketball. The only live action show to be seen in prisons across the nation, and therefore I got a lot of very interesting fan mail at UCLA.
Yeah, I can see they're all sitting there and they're watching it and like, right. What's this?
Oh. Yeah, they let them watch cartoons.
Yeah.
And then here comes Beakman's World, and, you know, there's this girl in spandex and petticoats in a science lab, as you do. So that was my sort of first foray into the world of entertainment.
Ah, fun stuff. When did you start doing voiceover?
1997. My first job was Johnny Bravo. I played Penny, I think her name was. I went across the country 10 times in a converted ambulance recording people's dialects on a Sony DAT Walkman.
Yeah.
Right sort of at the end of Beakman's World, I had 1 month off because I'd taken the fall quarter of my senior year at UCLA off to finish filming. And so we had this hiatus of, it was the first free month of my life. And I just bought an ambulance because it had AC outlets in it. And I could plug in my recording gear and my wok, and I could cook, stir-fry.
Yeah. Hashtag van life. Was this part of your program or part of your degree that you had a project you were working on?
Actually, it was my senior colloquium thesis project. I had transferred from the theater department to the World Arts and Cultures department because I wanted to know what people really were like, you know, who weren't me.
Of which there are many.
I did American dialects. I actually asked my professor if I could do that, and he said, we study third world countries here in World Arts and Cultures, like China and Africa.
Oh.
And I was like, Africa's not a country.
The man had a PhD, so...
Well, I just felt like an idiot trying to go out and become the expert on Ghanaian drumming or whatever it was we were culturally appropriating at that moment, and without knowing anything about my own culture or country, and having been told that there was no such thing as an American culture, I just kind of wanted to go out and find out if that was true. Start here, and then subsequently I just kept going. I went across the country 10 times, and then I went to every English-speaking country in the world where English is the first language, recording people's dialects and accents. And I just did Singapore, which was the last one, except the Falkland Islands. So if I ever get asked to coach a project
with the Falkland Islands dialect, I'll have to go there. But for the most part, I've gone to people's hometowns and recorded these phonemes in their pure, unadulterated form. Because, you know, the minute you step foot outside your hometown, you start to speak differently if you pick things up. That's how accents happen.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly shifting.
So when you look on something like IDEA and you listen to somebody who was recorded at the University of Kansas after having been there for 3 or 4 years, you're not necessarily getting what you need.
Yeah.
I was trying to create this resource for actors, and I have it now. It's called the Dialect Database. It's a huge mess, and if any of you'd like to help us with it, you can take some of my classes for free in exchange for being my slave.
Oh.
Yes, and who's archiving my research.
Yeah. Who's administering this database?
One of my students, Goldie, she is in Seattle, and she's just starting out in voiceover, and she's fantastic, and she's helping me. She's got about 45 volunteers who are all going through about 7,000 interviews right now, archiving them and cataloging them and making them accessible to actors.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And writers. Wow. And whoever else cares.
That's an amazing resource. Yeah, that's huge.
I'm serious. I will trade class tuition for people to help me with the database. Because I don't have minions, you know? Yeah. That other guy with the dialect archive in the Kansas or whatever, he's got like students.
Oh,
he's got minions. He's got people.
Thing?
Yeah, he's got people to help him.
Ah. But you're doing it privately.
Yes.
So you'll own it and not some university somewhere.
That's true. That is true. That's a good point.
Yeah. So what is it about dialects? Did you do much studying as to why things would develop differently? Why is it that people in North Dakota sound like people in Winnipeg? Wow. And why do people in Arkansas not sound quite the same as the people in Kentucky? Or the same people in Wales.
Well, okay, so the first myth there is that dialects are defined by political boundaries.
Interesting.
So there's not an Arkansas dialect versus a Mississippi dialect, but there's definitely a mountain dialect versus a tidewater dialect.
Mm-hmm.
And it all has to do with immigration patterns. For example, the sort of two classes of Southern that we think of when we think of the American Southern dialect, you've got your plantation tidewater Southern that goes all around the Mississippi Delta and all around, North Carolina. And of course, they're about 17 distinct dialects in North Carolina, but including the Outer Banks, where they tend to sound like Harry Potter or Hagrid. Hagrid,
right.
The high tiders. But so there's the plantation Southern, which is non-rhotic, R dropping, and they say y'all are invited to dinner. And then there's the mountain Southern, which you'll find in the Ozarks and all through Arkansas and parts of Mississippi, and it's not necessarily the mountains, but it has to do with the immigration of the Irish and the Scottish that came up in there, and they have those hard R's like y'all are invited to dinner.
That's the hard R.
So it's really topographical more than it is political boundaries that define accents and that can kind of give you a sense of a regional accent.
I'm from Pennsylvania. There's at least 17 dialects, probably, in the eastern part of the state.
Oh, yeah.
Pennsylvania is crazy.
Well, and of course, they've got the Amish and the men and knights and the different. I recorded a bunch of them. I was fascinated to find that they had cell phones.
I had a girlfriend that lived in a town that is written on paper, Shenandoah. If you go into this town and pronounce it Shenandoah, they're going to follow you around and see you wait till you leave.
Yeah.
It's Shendo.
Shendo.
That's it.
Right.
Shendo.
Yeah, and you don't want to call Versailles Versailles in America. Right.
Yeah. I've seen it done.
But screwing up place names is one of the things that actors are really good at. And so that's one of the things as a dialect coach I get to do.
You ever seen one of those goofy surveys that's probably been viral on Facebook where it gives you like 20 questions and it says, how do you say this word?
Accent tags.
Yeah. And then at the end they say, you live. And it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through it, and I haven't lived in Philadelphia in a long time, but it asked me all these questions, and at the end it said, you're from Philadelphia.
Oh, that's cool. Like, oh, no, I've actually not seen that.
Yeah,
I've seen
neat.
The accent tags that people tag themselves and say this is
like, how do you say cherry, the word cherry?
And it has all these, do you know what university
one of them is cherry. It was a couple of years ago.
You have to give me the URL.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
It was really,
so we
really fascinating.
Up, so, okay.
It was cool.
Yeah. So... now you're teaching this. You have this massive database, and all of this built up knowledge and actual examples.
Yes, I do.
How are you using this to teach people this stuff? I mean, how do you teach a dialect?
Oh, gosh. Well, I teach in three ways. It kind of depends on the proclivities of my student.
Okay. Individualized
teaching.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So if I have a celebrity, say, that has zero time and is running to the set, mm-hmm. I listen to them first, see what they're doing wrong, and sometimes we'll just tweak a few things, you know, or we'll make a different choice about their character's backstory on the fly. Right. In keeping with what they're actually doing. You know, that's something you do when you have zero time. But auditory, visual, and kinesthetic is the three-pronged approach. And we all use all of these things when we're learning, but
Absolutely. Some
of us are more auditorily inclined. Some of us are more kinesthetic. We have to have our costume on to get into character, you know.
It's physical sensory.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then some of us are more a visual. We take notes. We're note takers. So for those people, the International Phonetic Alphabet or respelling really helps. For example, when I'm teaching a Scottish dialect, I will say the word settled. Say the word settled.
Settled.
Now replace that S with a W.
Sweddled.
No, replace the S with a W.
Weddled.
What in the weddled are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
So it tricks people into doing something they didn't think they could previously do when you do some respelling with rhyming words like that. So that's for my visually oriented people. And on my dialectmasterclass.com, in my websites that my students have access to, there you can pretty much choose whichever way works best for you.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is important for voice actors because they're always asking for dialects, but most of the time they say, it's got to be dead on. You've got to be able to relate. It's got, you know, somebody in the Tidewater, because you're doing a commercial for somebody in, you know, Virginia Beach. You've got to be convincing of it.
Yeah. I mean, that's true for commercials. That's true for video games. A lot of them take themselves very, very, very seriously, and they want you to pass as a local, which is definitely possible if you study a native speaker.
Right.
To me, studying these native speakers, studying two or three native speakers, finding the commonalities and creating this avatar of your own version of this dialect is like learning to play a concert or playing some music, right? So I'm learning, the dialect itself is a different instrument. I'm reshaping the inside of my mouth. My vocal posture is changing from flute to, you know, recorder.
Right.
And then the character and their monologue is the song I'm singing within that instrument, right? So you can memorize as many songs as you want. You could do a whole set list, you know, if you have this kind of method down and you know kind of what you're doing. Can pass as a local.
This is 101, but maybe can you explain really what's the difference between dialect and accent?
Okay, so the dictionary definition is different than the common usage definition. So
the
dictionary definition is slightly different. A dialect is defined by a variation in pronunciation, grammar, and vocabulary.
Okay,
whereas
vocabulary
an accent
is, part of it. Right.
is simply mm-hmm. a variance in pronunciation.
Got it. Okay.
However, in common usage, it's usually, oh, he's got a foreign accent or he's got a different regional, you know, English dialect.
Okay.
Right? So they'll say that, you know, somebody from Manchester has a Manchester dialect. Yeah. Versus somebody who came from France and is speaking English has a French accent. That's usually how it's
okay.
used.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Thank you.
It happens. So you went traveling across. I'm imagining that you probably had some interesting adventures collecting some of these. What were some of the more interesting ones that happened to you?
Oh, gosh.
And what did you learn from a dialect
what's
perspective?
What's the rating on this program?
Ella has her earbuds in watching the sitcom reading.
Yeah.
I can say whatever
you want.
Oh, fascinating. Well, the one time I turned on my lights and sirens, that was fun.
I was in an ambulance.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was in North Carolina, and I heard these girls. So apparently I think it was Richmond. It was a long time ago. But the hangout in the region where I was the Burger King. All the girls had Keds, those little white shoes, and all the boys had trucks that were custom painted that had at least 9 woofers lining the back. And I heard this girl talking at the top of a hill looking down on a parking lot going, oh, shit, shit, shit. And I was like, oh, God, I have to record her. And I said, step into my ambulance and let me record you. I have a box of wine. And she and her sister got into my ambulance on the condition that I turned the lights and sirens on and went down. And I said, I'll go chase your boyfriend down. We see him down there. We'll go get him. And he either wet his pants or spilled his beer, because when we finally pulled him over in this Kmart parking lot
moistened,
or whatever.
Yes. In this region.
Yes. Yes, he was. He was very nervous about having been pulled over by an ambulance.
That's so
yeah, dude, I'm being chased by an ant. Wait a second.
An ambulance full of police?
With my girlfriend in it and her sister. And ultimately, I mean, I ended up with one of my favorite interviews. These girls were just one-upping each other right and left. And one of my favorite quotes from that session was, when I was little, she used to try and kill me by sticking baby powder up my nose. I did not. I liked the puffballs that the powder made. It was so awesome. Such a great interview.
If you're just joining us and wondering what on earth is going on, we're talking with Eliza Jane Schneider, who is a dialect coach for actors and voice actors and for anyone else, I take it, who really needs to sound like there's somebody else in another place. If you've got a question for her, throw it in our chat room, our interactive chat room on our webpage, or if you're in Facebook, you can throw it in there too, and we will ask that question of her when we get the opportunity to do that in our next segment. So you were explaining how you teach. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your classes, and they must be fascinating.
Well, we have a lot of fun. Definitely.
I'm sure you do.
And it attracts a fascinating type of person. At my classes, I have to say, attract a really intelligent demographic. Everybody, they're so smart and they're so talented and they're becoming so adept at just, you know, switching back and forth. And they're all pretty much training to do what I do, which is be a utility voice and you know, be super extra helpful.
Right.
there's dialectmasterclass.com is where it all started. And I have this sort of European-centric kind of mass of material that, for me, was the most marketable when I started this 4 years ago. You know, you've got your various regional American dialects. And in that module, I also teach the auditory looping method, which has become the mainstay of, you know, voice matching dialects, accents, and even teaching lawyers how to use more powerful voices. I mean, I have this method that apparently transcends voice teachers all over are getting really excited about it. I was asked last week to go to Orlando to present these methods to all these voice and speech teachers at a big conference as a master presenter. I'm so swanky. and it's really cool. Basically what I do, I'll spill the beans.
Okay.
Spill the beans.
Well, you can give a lot of the what, just not a whole lot of the how.
I loop it for, I take a phone number size sound bite of a native speaker. Yeah, I loop it 14 times. I mute 4, 6, 8, and 10. So you end up with a chant rhythm kind of happening. I put it in your left ear. It goes into your right brain. You get this intuitive sense of what this person sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And then you record yourself on the next track. You put your own voice in your right ear and you're analyzing it on the fly as you chant and you repeat what this person's saying. And by the time my students are done, whether they be Australian dialect coaches themselves who are trying to learn a Nigerian accent, or some celebrity that's got to shoot a scene in 5 minutes and has to completely change the way they sound all of a sudden because production never gave them time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 3 minutes sometimes it takes to get 90% of the way there. It eliminates 90% of my teaching time, this method. So it's fascinating and fun and fun to watch. Everybody's ears pop when you play it back for them and they go, oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm doing that. And I just sit back and I don't have to teach. It's fantastic.
almost an app for that.
So yeah, so dialectmasterclass.com. But this year, finally, coming up September 10th, same day my movie comes out.
Which is? Or can you talk about
it? Yeah, Curious George 4. Oh. I can finally announce Curious George 4, the Royal Monkey.
Hey,
I play
awesome.
Anna. I play the straight man to Curious George's foibles.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's actually the first time I'm ever using my own accent in a project, I'm pretty sure.
She's just being you.
I know.
If only my daughter was paying attention.
Yeah.
She was a huge, probably still is, but she was a huge fan of the original you know, a few shows or a few movies that came out.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Well, my son went to the screening with me at DreamWorks on Sunday. And
how old is he?
So, he's 8. And it's just so touching and charming. And what I love about Curious George is the space. They give each emotion a moment to land. And you get these beats that you just don't get in the fast-paced world of Ninjago and, you know, the Lego movies. And it's just everything else is so in your face really fast all the time. Lots of sound effects. And Curious George gives you the time to just be a kid and be feel for the monkey.
And he just said all with your facial expressions.
Like, yeah, it's really lovely.
No, I really liked it. I mean, I liked it as an adult. I could see the what was so different about that from the way it was produced. So they're continuing that same kind of pacing, that same kind of energy and mood.
Yeah, really talented team. Keith, the guy who edited South Park when I was on it, was the editor on this movie too. So we
so they want the same demographic to keep coming back. It's not like I think of Harry Potter movies because Ella's really into Harry Potter, right? So the sixth, as the movies go on, they expect the audience to be growing up with the characters.
Yeah.
So we just watched one of them. It was freaking scary.
I know, right?
Right? It was scary. I was like, and this is like, this, I thought this was a kid's movie, but with that show, it's a timeless show.
Yeah,
they're trying to, they want the same audience, not the same audience to grow older with it, but they want to keep bringing the same kind of kids and things like that.
Yeah. Well, my son, I'm making him read the books before he watches the movie. So we're on number 5 right now, and hopefully he'll be 12 before we actually watch it. It's brutal, man.
It's pretty intense.
It was intense. 4 was intense.
Yes.
So your class is starting the same day. Tell us
about that. September 10th, I am launching the Dialect Masterclass again. But anybody who signs up now in the next week or so for the Dialect Masterclass will get one of these new electives that I'm teaching for the first time. You know, I've been researching dialects around the world and I've been performing dialects around the world for a long time. But now we're in this incredibly exciting time when casting directors are recognizing that, hey, if I've got a Chinese character, I really want to find a Chinese person. I mean, it's actually, if I've got a Chinese character, I want to find an Asian person at least, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are Asian or you have ancestry from the continent of Asia, my Distinctions in Asian Dialects class elective is something you can take in tandem with the master class, and you'll learn Korean, North and South Japanese. You'll learn Cantonese versus Mandarin 1 week. You'll learn Singlish versus Singaporean and like the 4 different kinds of Singlish with Petrina Kao, who's a voice teacher from Singapore. So I'm bringing in my friends from these voice and speech teachers conferences from all over the world. Right. And it's interesting because I feel like there's one of me in every country. I keep finding these women who are like the voiceover person, utility person who also teaches, like the super geek. I found my geeky people.
So you have a whole worldwide network of these people.
It's really cool. Yeah. So I'm offering this for the first time starting September 10th. You can sign up by going to dialectmasterclass.com and clicking on the free training in the upper left corner, and you'll get a 90-minute free training if it's for you. You buy it, and you won't see this on the page. This is news right now.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting that you get this elective as well. The place you'll find the electives, there's dialects for black characters. There's dialects for basically your audition type.
Yeah.
Latinx characters. Mm-hmm. There's Middle Eastern, you know, when they ask for that Middle Eastern mishmash. Yes.
Right.
So we've got survey courses basically going on in tandem with the masterclass. So you can really go deep and really authenticate your stuff. The way Steve Bloom said it is, I've been faking it up until this point. I don't know why I took your class. Now I know what I'm talking about. So you'll find that at characteractingacademy.com/electives. And that's where you'll find the elective that you're going to get with your Dialect Masterclass.
All right. We'll give those out again a little bit later, too. Once again, our guest is Eliza Jane Schneider. We're talking about dialects and how she teaches them and how she can teach you and that sort of thing. Again, if you've got a question, now would be a really good time to ask it.
And we got some.
And we got some. So we're going to take a break. Yes, and we're going to be right back with Eliza Jane and your questions right up there after these incredibly important messages.
Ooh, I think I heard the voice of a body shop. I did hear the voice of a body shop. Big old body shop.
Well, hello there. I bet you weren't expecting to hear some big-voiced announcer guy on your new orientation training for Snapchat, were you?
This is Virgin Radio.
Well, okay, we're not that innocent.
There's jeans for wearing and there's jeans for working. Dickies, because I ain't here to look pretty.
She's a champion of progressive values, a leader for California, and a voice for America.
It's smart. It's a phone. It's a smartphone. But it's so much more. It's a, the files are ready. Don't forget to pick up the eggs. What time is hockey practice? Check out this song.
It's the end of the road for Rick.
It's just you and me, Rick.
When hope is lost.
The i8 from BMW. Who said saving the planet couldn't be stylish?
Hey, it's J. Michael Collins. Bet you think I'm going to try and sell you a demo now, huh? I think they speak for themselves. But I will give you my email. It's jmichael@jmcvoiceover.com. Now, if Dan will stop waxing his mustache for a minute, we'll get back to the show.
Hey there, it's David H. Lawrence, the 17th, and I'm very excited, very happy to announce that as of today, VO2GoGo's sponsorship with VoiceOver Body Shop is over. Long-standing relationship, bye-bye, VO2GoGo. And the reason I'm happy and excited about it is that we're about to embark on a brand new sponsorship arrangement with VoiceOver Body Shop with the new name of our website and our company. The name is now VOHeroes.com. And there's a big reason for that. I think that VoiceOver Body Shop and our company share a mission. And that mission is not just to teach you how to do voiceover really well, but to really help you become heroes to your clients. Your clients don't come to you just to do voiceover. Your clients come to you to help them, to save them, to help them sell products and services, to help them explain their company, to help them narrate their audiobook. There's a million reasons why they come to you, and it's all about making their lives spectacular. And that's what we're going to do at VOHeroes.com. The new website is up. I'd love to show it to you. VOHeroes.com front page is basically a very modern, clean look that tells you everything you need to succeed. It helps you meet our coaches, what we do in three simple steps. We let you figure out if VO Heroes is right for you. We think it usually is if you're watching this show. We have the same classes, but they've been heroically updated for VOHeroes.com. And again, the look and feel is fantastic. And the big thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to get off Facebook because people have been telling us we don't want to be on Facebook. So now ProConnect, which is our discussion group, is on VOHeroes.com. When you want to talk about things with your fellow pros in the VO Heroes curriculum, you'll be able to do it right on the site. Log in, get all of the stuff that you want, the workouts, the classes, the discussion, the labs, the recordings, everything right there on one site, clean, awesome, lovely, and I'm very excited about our future. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be launching officially with a great package, great price, lots of great bonuses. Stand by for that. You'll hear about it on VoiceOver Body Shop. In the meantime, stand by for more VOBS. I'm David H. Lawrence, the 17th, from VOHeroes.com.
As a voice talent, you have to have a website. But what a hassle getting someone to do it for you. And when they finally do, they break or don't look right on mobile devices. They're not built for marketing and SEO. They're expensive. You have limited or no control. And it takes forever to get one built and go live. So what's the best way to get you online in no time? Go to voiceactorwebsites.com. Like our name implies, voiceactorwebsites.com just does websites for voice actors. We believe in creating fast, mobile-friendly, responsive, highly functional designs that are easy to read and easy to use. You have full control. No need to hire someone every time you want to make a change. And our upfront pricing means you know exactly what your costs are ahead of time. You can get your voiceover website going for as little as $700. So if you want your voice actor website without the hassle of complexity and dealing with too many options, go to voiceactorwebsites.com, where your VO website shouldn't be a pain in the you-know-what.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and we're talking with Eliza Jane Schneider, talking about dialects and stuff. But also, you were on South Park?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
5 years.
5 years. Yeah. You must have played a lot of different characters on
that.
Yeah,
I played most of the females on that show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's quite a distinction because yes, they don't like to use too many other voices other than their own, right?
Yeah, it was pretty much me, Matt Trey, and Isaac Hayes for a little while there. And Mona Marshall.
The Godfather of Soul.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was crazy.
Well, what was that like? I mean, they're nuts.
Yeah. There's that show they did on Netflix, The Doc, 6 Days to Air. Is that what it was called?
I don't remember.
There was a doc they did about the show, about how they do it every week.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I actually remember going to the Kraft Emmys with Seth MacFarlane. He won an Emmy for the dog voice, a song that he sang. And I remember there was a little film strip about the way South Park creates the show. And they were getting interviewed, and they're like, yeah, we do all the voices. And I was like, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, what the heck?
What? But yeah, I mean, that's how they kept so current. But interestingly, now with the streaming, it's not as, you know, it's not as pertinent to keep that current because people are always binge-watching, you know what I mean? But like when Alien Gonzalez got, you know, dragged, and they had it like the next day in animation, whereas Simpsons took like 9 months, you know? So we would be doing ADR at 2 o'clock in the morning the night before broadcast.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
It was insane. Yeah, and everybody's working around the clock. It was an intense working environment.
Yeah. How many years?
Those guys are awesome. 5 years.
5 years.
5 years. Then I asked for a union contract.
Mm. Okay. So once in a while, you have to speak up for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. That will play on for a while. Like an annuity every year.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I lived in a van with my principals.
Yeah, really?
Me and my principals hung out playing chess for a while.
Sounds
we had a lot of time on our hands. It was awesome. I love those guys. I think they're hilarious.
Book of Mormon's one of my favorites. Brilliant. Anyway, we're talking with Eliza Jane Schneider, and we have a couple of questions from our vast worldwide audience. They're watching all over the place. They're having lunch in Australia right now, but they're watching. So what do we got, Mr. Whittem?
Yes. Huh?
Yeah, first one in the queue here is from Fred North. I've never done any dialect, never thought I could. Can an old dog learn new tricks? And where to start, if so?
Well, sometimes. The answer is sometimes. And, you know, it is contingent upon whether or not you have an ear for it sometimes. You know, it's possible to teach someone kinesthetically, sort of like, you know, miracle worker style, you know, like creating the... if you create a different mouth position, you'll like I showed you with the respelling. You know, you can trick yourself into doing something you didn't imagine you could do. But you know, everybody's born with the same tools. You know, so it's just a matter of what your ear selects for in terms of what your brain decides is important. When you're basically up to 4 months old, this is why I was sitting there nursing my kid, watching Vietnamese television. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, but hopefully someday if he ever needs to know Vietnamese, he'll have the tools.
That's the fun of having an antenna as opposed to just cable, because you can like pick up all the Vietnamese stations.
Right.
Especially here in LA, you get all the ones out of Orange County.
But where you start, if you're curious, is the free training at dialectmasterclass.com in the top left corner. You click on free training and it'll give you some tools, and you can try your hand and then of course you can go to the dialect database, which is a huge mess right now, but you can certainly download a couple native speaker samples and try the method, the looping method that I teach in that free training. And if you want to go deep, sign up. We're starting classes September 10th.
Cool. And you do it online?
Yeah, online. Oh. From the comfort of your own home studio.
Another one. There's two questions from Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And Ella, you're going to have to supply your own electricity. I don't know how you're going to do that, but you're going to have to figure it out. So good luck with you.
He's talking to his daughter.
What was the most challenging? This is from Jonathan Aurora or Aurora. That's a name that's misread the first time by millions. Sorry, Jonathan. What was the most challenging accent or dialect for you to learn? What did you work the
Welsh.
Hardest on? Welsh?
Welsh was hard for me. I just didn't have it in my ear. And those the lateral plosive, that plond roost, you know, that double L, they actually also have that in the Tlingit tribe in near Juneau, Alaska. Mm-hmm. It's a very rare thing to do with your mouth. Klingons do it.
Klingons. It's a plosive that
Klingits,
goes this
not
way.
Klingons. Klingons.
Tlingits and like Klingons.
Kerblach!
Coincidence? I don't know. Like
this.
Is a Klingon term of endearment and insult simultaneously. I love that about Klingon. But we digress. So, yes. That is
Welsh. The second question, what's your current recording setup for home and travel?
Oh, God, you should see it. Are they different? It's the same. And you know, at first, you know, I had the $10,000 mic, not at first, but, you know, eventually I was like, I've got to get this all dialed in. But, you know, now I'm running around with an AT2020 with a rubber band holding it together because of the last time I dropped it off of the balcony. It's over here. Yeah, I was just auditioning with it. I gotta get a new mic. But yeah, just USB. I find that, you know, I was running around with, because I do quite a bit of traveling, recording dialects. I was running around with a cooler bag, you know, because it's padded,
right,
with my M-Box and my laptop and my XLR cables and everything. And I just found that not having an interface was way, way easier for me. And I, you know, now people, especially celebrities, are recording on their phones.
Yeah.
And so they're becoming used to.
Which is really actually, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
Surprisingly,
yeah,
decent.
Simplicity. I'm all about the simplicity. And I've stopped trying so hard to create a completely soundproof studio. I had to wait out the propane tanks in Topanga the other day and
oh, really?
The dogs barking and whatnot. But you know, you do what you need to do.
Yeah. Well, my work here is done then, because you've been listening to us and simplifying, which is what we try to tell people. Don't overthink this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't know, you don't know. And you don't know what you don't know.
Well, I'm a gypsy, but I'm a hoarder. And it's a talent to balance being a gypsy and a hoarder.
Welcome
so what
to Los
I
Angeles.
Do
yeah,
we're town of gypsy hoarders.
I take the books that I've hoarded. I surround myself with books, you know, and then the clothes that I've hoarded. And then there's my soundproof booth pretty much anywhere I go, including my van. I just recorded a bunch of stuff on the way down the coast from Portland.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good idea for a cheap makeshift booth.
Books and
that
clothes.
That I've literally never thought of. Just making, using books as bricks and just making a wall around you.
Yeah. Well, they're great for diffusing stuff.
Yeah,
yeah they're heavy.
Yeah, they're heavy.
They don't let sound in. They diffuse sound. It works pretty well.
You heard it here first. The booth invented by Eliza Jane Sherman.
Unless, of course, they fall over, which then you got to start all over.
You might need glue.
Glue, books, and clothes.
A bunch more, actually. Ron Garner says, how does a person start to help with the database?
Oh, well, you start by, let's see, you can email us at assistant@dialectmasterclass.com and say, I want to help you with the database.
Do they have to sing it?
No.
Okay.
Not through email. Sing to me through your email. Just email us, assistant@dialectmasterclass.com, and we'll get you all sorted and hooked up. And we have a free webinar coming up, or it's not free. There's a promo code you have to, but if you email that same email address, we have a webinar on Wednesday with Jennifer Hale at 6:30, and it's called Beyond Money. And it has to do with, you know, how do you navigate the world of acting and deal with your finances contractor. And Jen Hale holds the Guinness World Record for the most prolific video game actress.
Oh, really?
She's amazing. And she's helped me with my financial decisions, being an actor. You know, it's hard. So we're having this webinar on Wednesday. And if you look that up, you can, I suppose I should have a link or something.
That'd be on August 28th for the people who are time shifting this podcasts.
August 28th at 6:30. But yeah, anytime you can go to Dialect Masterclass, you click on the free training and it'll give you all kinds of options to get in with us and start working on the database or your own work or the Character Acting Academy. You can also, if you go to characteractingacademy.com, you can click on apply now and you will get a 15-minute audition with me. But please don't do that unless you're really an actor and you really want to audition for the Character Acting Academy.
You're really serious about it.
Yeah.
Here's one from Noah DeBias.
DeBiasi.
Thank you very much.
Southwestern New York name.
Noah DeBiasi Eliza. Ever run into an American accent that was so utterly unintelligible, despite them actually speaking English?
I don't know if it was Workington or Workingham. I forget, but it's the southern coast of England. It was in America. Oh, yeah. The Gullah on Helena Island, there was one. I was looking for pure Gullah as opposed to people who studied how to do Gullah and like perform in Gullah, but you know, code switch and
the one here that doesn't know what you're talking about.
Gullah.
It's an island off of South Carolina.
Well,
North Carolina.
And Helena Island is the island. It's one of the islands. And Beaufort versus Beaufort, I always forget which is which. But basically, there's a lingering lingua franca which is the English, basically the English morphology with the Sierra Leone syntax. So that's where you get he gone, he be gone, and he been gone, being three different verb conjugations with three different levels of meaning to them. Mm-hmm. But it's Gullah Geechee. It's, there's a show called Gullah Gullah Island.
Yeah, it was on PBS. Yeah.
I met a man when I was researching the Gullah dialect who wrote a Bible in the Gullah dialect.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a Gullah Bible. It's sort of like the Brer Rabbit tales, if you have no reference for it.
It's an island essentially established by freed slaves at the end of the Civil War. And they created their
And these are places where for 100 years or so, there weren't very many white people at all, but people were sort of being forced out of their language and being forced to speak English. Mm-hmm. And anyways, that one, when I met Butch at the steamer restaurant on Helena Island, and he hadn't been to school, and so he was still speaking Gullah. He would sing and speak, and I had to listen back several times to be able to really understand it. But I was going to tell you about Workington or Workingham, and that was a place in England where the dialect was so thick, I really couldn't understand it at all. And parts of, like, under bridges amongst the people who living houseless in Glasgow, very difficult for me to understand at first. But when you listen back several times, you can start to understand it.
I find, like, if I'm listening to my gardener, Raul, who's Salvadoran, he's talking in the Spanglish that he is talking, and I'm like, what? I close my eyes and I tune into him, I hear exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, you have to kind of reenact what it was like to be a baby before you knew everything, before you decided that you knew everything. And you have to be open to the meaning that's coming at
you. There was a very short span of time there between the two. But...
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, how is that the Gullah?
Gullah.
Gullah. Different from, like, a Cajun dialect.
Cajun
dialect.
Well, French.
Cajun, yeah.
Well, Cajun is literally
a
French language.
No, but it is a lingua franca. It's two languages that met each other. It's sort of like a pigeon.
Yeah.
But it came from Acadia in Canada. A lot of people think that it came from down south, but it actually came from the north and came down. And it's a mostly white people speak with the Cajuns. The Creole that's more close to the Gullah. Or more heavily influenced.
Oh, Creole is more like the Gullah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. Yeah. I'm geeking out.
Yeah,
on
I coached all that for Mafia 3.
Oh, really?
Because it was a period piece, and I got to coach Haitian, Creole, Cajun, and get really deep and specific about
that. It's
so
fascinating.
For a game.
Yeah. If you've ever been to Belize, in Belize, it's sort of like people from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Creole with English and some other things mixed up. I mean, and this guy could cross talk between them.
Oh yeah,
he could code switch, and it was pretty. Yeah, it's like, could you explain this to me? Well, okay, it's
and then you demonstrate,
right? And it's like, okay, whatever.
Like,
all right, let's go on to the river that we were going to on this bus. But,
Cajun people I spoke with would switch back and forth between French and English quite a bit. Yeah.
That's great,
fascinating. Yeah.
So we have got more, but I think for the interest of time. What do you think,
Dan? Let's get in as many as we can.
All right, Debbie Smith says, what dialect is the most requested and most, well, these are several questions. Most requested.
Most requested, usually British.
British.
Yeah.
General British. Most marketable.
Most marketable, neutral American.
Neutral American. Yeah. One that you might recommend for a female from Southern California.
Neutral American.
Yeah.
Neutral American. Learn the difference between the Southern California dialect and what a neutral American sound might be, which is very subtle. And map your idiolect. We all have an idiolect, which is like, it doesn't mean you're stupid.
I was going to say, my wife calls me that all the time.
No, there's a regional dialect, but then there's your own sound. A single human being
That's
sounds
what
like.
Makes what us makes unique as voice actors.
Us sound different from each other. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a way, using the International Phonetic Alphabet and various musical terms, to map your own sound and figure out what your vocal posture is versus, you know, even a family member. And it's always good to really get to know your point A so that you can more easily and with more facility switch to a point B, any point B.
Right.
You know.
I'm going to go right to this last one because it's really kind of interesting from Noah again, Noah DeBiase. What can you tell us about voice feminization for a biologically male actor?
Well, ooh. I'll tell you that it's not what you think. It's not, oh, I'm going to pitch my voice up and sound like a woman.
Right, right.
Some of the best female voices, like Roz,
yeah,
you know, you can do that with a male instrument really well, whereas a woman would really have to shred her chords in order to get to those places, you know, like that big, heavy smoker's voice. You know, for example, when I'm doing like my octogenarian couple, my male voice,
honey, I've got the condoms. Are you ready for me?
Right.
And then the woman, I'm moist, Harold. I'm ready for you. She's pitch-wise lower.
Yeah, she's lower. Yeah.
Fascinating, isn't it?
It could
everything about what you said in the last 30 seconds. It's fascinating.
We have a lot of fun in my class.
Clearly. Once again, let's go over some of the URLs so they can take these classes if they are interested.
Okay. So if you want to audition and just get into the mentoring program for the whole year with me and my fabulous all-star crew of teachers, which include Steve Bloom, Jen Hale, Pat Fraley, Dave Fenoy, Phil Lamar, Debbie Derryberry. If you look on...
Bunch of lightweights, yeah.
Yeah, those guys. If you look on characteractingacademy.com, I have basically assembled my favorite team of fantastic teachers who also perform for a living. They also do this. And I think it's really important when you're navigating this sea of very helpful people who are willing to take all of your money to train you to be a voice actor, that you work with people who are in the business and do it. So characteractingacademy.com, if you click on apply now, you'll get an audition with us and you'll get a 15-minute phone call with me where I get to hear your voices and we get to determine where to place you. And if you're interested in one of these electives that are being offered for the first time, you can scroll down and find them. You can sign up just for the elective if you've taken the masterclass. And if you are ready to take the masterclass, the dialect masterclass, you can go to dialectmasterclass.com, take the free training, sign up for the masterclass, and get one of these electives as part of your deal.
Fantastic.
Right now.
Eliza Jane, always a pleasure to hang out with you. And thank you for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Good to see you. We'll be right back. So George and I can say goodbye. Das vidanya.
Bye-bye.
This is Anthony Mendez, and you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop.
Hey, it's time to talk about our good friend Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials. And tonight, VoiceOver Essentials announces a promo code to get a discount on their porta booths like this one here. Now, what with material, labor, and shipping cost increases, not to mention tariffs, and the straw that broke the camel's back, a big hike in storage cost, they had to raise prices on the booths by just a little bit. Just $10 on the Porta Booth Plus and $20 on the Porta Booth Pro. But our wonderful VOBS viewers can still get either of their booths for their original price for the next 2 weeks. You should go to, of course, voiceoveressentials.com. Easy to get there at the bottom of our page. Just click the picture of Harlan there and put either of their booths in their shopping cart and enter the promo code BOOTHS24 in the promo code field and click the submit promo code button. That'll get you $10 off the plus and $20 off for the pro. Get a porta booth now at the original price at voiceoveressentials.com. Thanks a lot, Harlan.
This is the time of the show where we get to talk about one of our wonderful sponsors, Source Elements. Those are the creators of Source Connect. That is a software that voice acting pros are being demanded to have in their home studios by the commercial studios of the world. How do I know this? Well, I've set up software for everybody on every platform and in every scenario you can imagine. And this is the one that people are being requested to get. It's a standalone application, doesn't run on a Google Chrome browser. So you have a lot more stability involved. And this software has been tried and true, tested, improved, the whole nine for well over 10 years now. So if you really want to be establishing a business in voiceover that works with the top studios in the world, top agents, that kind of thing, make sure you have Source Connect locked and loaded in your studio. Absolutely important. Go get a 15-day free trial at source-elements.com. 15-day free trial. You don't need an iLock little USB dongly thing to get set up with Source Connect standard right away. So go give it a try and tell them we sent you. We'll be right back, right after this.
And we are back. Fascinating, the stuff you learn.
That was way more exciting than I anticipated. Oh, well,
no.
That was a fun, pleasant surprise.
I knew she would be great. And she can go on like that for a long time, as you found out.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows her stuff, which is the most important thing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thanks again to Eliza Jane Schneider for that. Next week on this show, it'll be Tech Talk, and correct, I am correct this time, number 16.
Okay. We've caught up.
Yes. We're now, at, you know, it's number time 16. Is going on.
Okay.
So make sure you're there for that next week. And then we've got some other great guests coming up as we get into the fall, even though it still feels like summer here in Southern California, and we'll probably feel that way until November. But who are our donors of the week? And we appreciate their help.
Got a pretty good list going. You'll probably recognize these names because a lot of them subscribe, which means we say their names a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Antland Productions,
Uncle
Christy
Roy.
Burns, Michelle Blenker, Sarah Borges, Philip Sapir, Trey Speaks
That's
for You,
Trey Mosley.
Yeah. We know Trey, Tom Pinto, Hattie Gibbons, and George Whittam Sr., actually. That's my dad. Thanks, Dad.
All right. Thanks, guys. You know, your donations do help a lot, and that's why this show is technically magnificent every week.
Not Absolutely.
A flaw. It's like doing actual live network TV, and it's all because of you guys. And so all you have to do is go to our website at vobs.tv and click on Donate Now and subscribe.
Please do.
We appreciate that. Join our mailing list, too. Those of you who are watching who are on our mailing list know who was going to be on tonight. And you knew that she would be here and that you could tune in at 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and 7 o'clock Central.
It also helps you plan because if you're going to be in town and you want to be here live in the audience, you'll know exactly when we're taping who's going to be here. So
exactly.
Subscribe and then you can sign up to be here in the studio. And there's our producer. She's the reason why the show looks pretty good tonight. But we have this empty studio.
We'd like you in here.
Ella, come on, get on your post.
Okay, all right.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could be in our studio. All you have to do is write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and say, you know, I'm in the greater Los Angeles area or I'm visiting. We've had lots of people in here who are visiting and they're like, oh, I could go see VOBS tonight.
Add this to your list of, you know, tourist attractions.
Yeah, it's this, the Watts Towers, the Coliseum.
The Griffith Observatory.
The Griffith Observatory, you know. Topanga Canyon.
Yeah, Topanga Creek Outpost mountain biking. Come on out Saturday mornings, 8 a.m.
All right. Also, show us your booths. Mm-hmm. Whose booth? This is Tom Johnson's booth, which you can clearly see is in his closet.
This is a legit closet voiceover
and it
booth.
Probably sounds better than some studios here in L.A.
I can vouch for that.
Yeah. I know. It's amazing how simple you can make your studio. People keep thinking, I got to spend all this money on a booth. No, but if you've got a booth and you want to show it off, we want to see your voiceover shrine and send it to us again at theguys@vobs.tv and make sure it is in landscape, not portrait. All righty. Let's see. If you need help with your home studio, come see us. You want to work with George, you go to?
GeorgeTheTech.com is my whole menu of services, and it's all right there. Dan also is available online over his website.
HomeVoiceOverStudio.com. Send me your audio. Let me give it a listen. You know, click on the specimen collection cup, and for $25, I will analyze your audio, and we'll see if you're where you need to be. We need to thank, of course, our sponsors, like Harlan Hogan's VoiceOver Essentials.
VoiceOver Extra.
Source Elements.
VOHeroes.com.
VoiceActorWebsites.com.
And J. Michael Collins Demos.
Along with the Dan and Marcy Leonard Foundation for the Betterment of Live Webcasting and Recorded Webcasting. We've had to add a little bit to the foundation. It's, you know.
the title is growing.
Yeah, this day is like, you're a not-for-profit? You gotta have this stuff.
We have to add podcasting on there eventually.
Right. Mike Merlino for doing a fabulous job in the chat room.
Thanks,
tonight,
Mike.
Because there were a lot of questions in there for Eliza Jane. His mom, Sue Merlino, who is our amazing director. Who did a great job tonight as well. And Lee Penny, simply for being Lee Penny. Come visit us, Lee, please. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, we try to bring you all the good stuff. Let us know. Write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. who would you like to see on the show? What kind of stuff do you want us to be talking about?
Yeah.
And we'd really appreciate that. So until next week, I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VOBS. And remember, if it sounds good,
it is good.
All right. Have a great week, everybody.